And that's why I believe in you, because that is the greatest purpose. It's to love. Honest. It sounds corny. Whatever you want to say, I don't care. I love people because there is freedom and power in loving people.
Hello, all you positive heads out there. Thanks for tuning your beautiful brainwaves into another episode of the Positive Head Podcast, where we have the crazy belief that creating success and happiness is a daily conscious effort, which is why we provide you with a fresh serving of soul food for thought 5 days a week. I'm your host, Brandon Beecham, and each and every Wednesday, you can tune in to hear me interview a different consciousness changemaker that is out there working tirelessly to help catalyze change and expand awareness all across spaceship Earth. On the other 4 weekdays, you can tune in to myself and my co-host, Dalian, giving interpretations of our favorite thought-provoking quotes, sharing a bit of inspiring or mysterious news, taking questions from the audience, and digging into any other mind-expansive topics that will help keep your soul fed by tuning you in to positive vibrations on a regular basis. Also, this Positive Head Podcast is definitely a labor of love for Dalian and I, but make no mistake, it takes a lot of time, energy, and resources to produce 5 episodes each and every week for you, our listeners. So if you enjoy the Positive Head Podcast, it would be stellar and much appreciated if you showed us your support at positivehead.com by picking up one of our unique Positive Head bracelets. Of course, you would most certainly be helping yourself in the process because it functions as much more than just another stylish accessory. And if you haven't ever seen one, they're really cool, simple little bracelets with our Flower of Life sacred geometry inspired logo. They're actually made out of recycled tires and metal, so our intention is, of course, to do something positive by giving new life to previously discarded goods. And as far as their functionality goes, they act as a daily reminder to help you focus on the positive aspects of your daily life. The concept was actually inspired by studies that you can read about on our website. But besides that, many people believe just wearing something with sacred geometry is empowering in and of itself, which you can also read about on our site. And of course, as the Buddha once famously said, what you think, you become. So we believe having something on your wrist that reminds you to keep a positive head, the same way a Fitbit reminds you to keep active, makes a whole lot of sense. Of course, we charge way less than Fitbit for helping you to manage your mental health because we let you name your price for your positive head bracelet. The reason we do that is because our heartfelt intention is to spread the positivity at all costs, first and foremost. That is our primary aim. And we don't ever want money to stand in the way of somebody wearing one. So if money is super tight and you want to pay as low as our cost to get one, no problem. On the flip side, if you love our podcast and just hit the lotto and want to show us your support by paying $1 million for one, well, that won't hurt our feelings much either, I assure you. Lastly, we also recently added a unique new line of t-shirts that have what we call chemistry quotes written out on them that help to spread the positivity as well. So head over to positivehead.com, check out all our wares, pick something up to show us your support if you feel inclined to do so. All right, all you positive heads, on this week's interview episode, I'm very excited to go above and beyond with the lovely Venus Andrecht. Venus is a psychic medium, clarifying counselor, author, and host of the most popular podcast on the other side called Dear Venus. Hello, Venus. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much. Nice to see you.
Yeah, very nice to connect with you. I've been looking forward to this for quite some time. We scheduled it a while back, and here we are. Mm-hmm. And anxious to dig in and kind of pick your brain. First things first, I'll jump right in. Question I always like to open up with. You're in an elevator. The person next to you looks over and asks, what's your passion? You have 10 floors to answer. What do you say?
I have a lot of passions. First of all, helping people. I like to see life as having adventures. I'm an artist also. I really like people. I'm very productive. One time my mother and I were talking about what we'd put on our headstones or what we'd want somebody to put on our headstones when we died. What would say a lot about us? All I could think of was she was very productive. So I'm having to rethink that one. But yeah, I have a lot of passions. I do a lot of research for many things. I'm really into health and all the latest things that are happening with genetics and bioengineering and all kinds of things. A lot of passions. I'm very passionate.
Yeah, I love that. I can relate to that for sure. Mm-hmm. So anxious to hear about some of your passions. Now, you define sort of the work, a lot of the work that you do, of course, is psychic related, and you are a clarifying counselor. Can you clarify what a clarifying counselor is?
Yeah, many years ago, I was being mentored by a lady who's a psychic or whatever, and she told me, said, "You're a clarifying counselor." And I said, "Well, what is that?" Because I didn't know either. And basically what it means is I seem able to look at people and their problems. I deal a lot with people's problems, and mm-hmm. I can usually see them really clearly when they can't. Of course, when we're up against our own stuff, it's really hard to see what we've got going, right? But I can see them clearly. I can tell them what to do. I can get in there and work with things because I do a lot of work with energies to move things around, change things, help things go in a better direction. So people tell me all the time, the reason I work with you or call on you is because you have such clarity. You can see clearly. So apparently that's one of my abilities.
Wow. Very, very cool. And you actually do that. One of the ways that you do that is through sort of communicating telepathically and sort of digging in and seeing what maybe someone else's perspective is. Is that correct?
Yes. As you ask me that question, I'm looking into it to see what I do exactly. A lot of this is a puzzle to me. I really find it puzzling, but it works. Yes, I am a telepath. I was born a telepath, a clairvoyant, clairaudient, clairsentient. I read the dead. I'm a medium. What else is there? I work with energies.
Every psychic gift that there is, pretty much.
Let me just put it this way. I try everything because people want me to do everything. So if I think I can't do it, I go ahead and try anyway. But when I'm reading somebody, I do all different things. I'm able to work with them or another person they want me to look at, living or dead. I always ask permission, though. I assume the person who's contacted me has given me permission. But if there's anybody they want me to look at, I go to the person, and the person doesn't consciously know what I'm doing, but at a deeper level they do. I tell them who I am. I get all kinds of responses to that one.
Wow.
And then I say, "Can I come in your head and talk to you? Or can I ask you these questions?" And then I tell them, "You don't have to say anything to me. You don't want to." If they say yes, then I start to work. I get busy. And if they say no, I don't do it because I'm not I'm not a black magic girl is what I'm saying.
Right, right.
And you know, every once in a while I get people that want me to do things that are against my particular moral code. I don't have judgment. I try not to have judgment on anybody else's, but there are some things I'll do and some things I won't do. I only work for good is what I'm saying.
I love that. Right. Right. Very, very interesting. And when did you start realizing, you know, you had these gifts right from a very young age?
No, of course not. I just thought there was something terribly wrong with me. As a lot of these people do who are like me, as sensitive people, I'm an empath too. So I took on everybody's thoughts and feelings around me. So I was sick a lot, physically, emotionally, mentally, in every way. No, I didn't realize for a very long time. I think the first time it was pointed out to me was when I was 38. I was seeing a lady. I always like to go to seminars and psychics and classes. I just had a real fascination with these kinds of people and what they did. It was like fun for me. It was just my way of having a good time, but I never dreamed I was one of them or that I'd do the work one day. What a shock.
Wow.
But anyway, this woman said, "I know what's wrong with you." She said, "You're an empath. You're a sponge and you take in everybody's stuff." Well, that was the start. And then later on, a few years later, I was at a spiritualist church and I thought of her as an old lady then. Of course, now that I'm older, I don't see her that way, but there were a lot of people there who came for a night, evening service and readings, huge number of people. And that we were all in a big circle and she'd go around to each one and read them. Every time she came to me, she'd stop, look me over and go on. She did this three times and she never gave me a reading. And so, of course, I was panicking. I'm going to, to die. You know, I have no future. She's telling everybody else. I was the only one. And finally, the next time around, she stopped, looked at me, she took my hand, she pulled me into the circle in the middle of the room and said, I want you to meet a born medium. And that was a shock to me. And then she gave me a reading and she told me other things. And later she took me aside and said, never stop doing the work. And I agreed I never would, but I didn't know what the hell she was talking about.
And you were 38. You
a
said.
Little older than that when that happened.
Wow. Wow. So, what a sort of a crossroads to hit at 38 years old. All of a sudden, oh, by the way, you're a medium, you know.
But it explained a lot about my life up to that point. You know, I started to see all the problems I'd had in a different light, a different way of seeing them, a more of a better understanding. And of course, that keeps unfolding. And I do see life a whole lot differently now than I did before.
Yeah.
And death, too.
Of course. Of course. Did you, did you start very quickly after that, you know, opening those channels of communication? Was it pretty much an instantaneous thing, or did you have to kind of work at it? Because you hear everyone is psychic to some degree. And if you work at it, you can sort of open, you know, work out that psychic muscle. Mm-hmm. How did it proceed for you after this experience?
Well, you know, I'm trying to remember. I think it was slow. I do remember one time, one time after that, I fell into what turned out to be a cult, a C-U-L-T group. I didn't realize it at the time. I just thought they had great potlucks, you know? I was so naive. I'm telling you, I was so naive.
That's so good.
I can't
good.
Remember. I can't believe how... Anyway, dumb I was, but it was a beautiful place. They had a wonderful altar.
They spiked the Kool-Aid, and that's when you knew something was wrong.
They had classes and this and that, and where it sort of came to a head for me was one time they told me the head of the place. I was in a class. Everybody turned to me and said that this man was the Christ, and I said, "He is not." You know. He is not. Well, yes, he is, Venus. No, he's not. I went running into his inner sanctum, which you just didn't do. Everybody had to make appointments. And I threw open the door said, "They're telling me out there you're Jesus Christ. What's wrong with them? Why are they saying that?" Anyway.
That's too funny.
I got off the track there. You asked me another question. So it was around this time. I believe there was a lady in that group, or maybe it was another one. I don't know. She was an older woman. And she sort of glommed on to me. She was one of these kind of people that kind of sucks your energy. I realize now, but I just felt bad for her. But she was always complaining of this big pain in her shoulder, just terrible pain. One day she said, "Venus, you could fix it for me." And I said, "What makes you think that?" You know, she says, "I know you can." I said, "Well, okay." This is what I mean by I'm not afraid to jump off cliffs here. I don't know what I'm doing, perhaps, but we'll see what happens. So I looked at her and I found that I was looking at her in a different way and I could see something. It's like I can see things in a different dimension. It's sort of like out there. I don't know how else to describe it, but it was a long silver metal bar. And at the end it was red hot, glowing red hot. Mm-hmm. And I took this metal bar and I put the red hot poker part right where the pain was.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "There you go." That was that, you know. And she told me later, she says, "Venus, it worked like a charm." She says, "That pain went away and it's never come back." And I thought, well,
wow,
that's weird. But you know what? A few years back, I read something about that. They're doing that now with certain kinds of muscle tears or problems. They take something like a laser, a red hot laser, or a red hot poker kind of thing, and they put it into the spot, which causes the tissue to rapidly regrow and take over and heal it. Well, that when I read that, I thought, so that's what it was.
Wow.
So, again, I forgot your question, but did we end up in the right place?
Yeah, we ended up in a good place. So that's
when did I start doing the work? And then there was a friend of mine, and I was with her one day, a woman, and she just happened to mention something I didn't know. She said her ex-husband had kicked her in the head when she was married to him. And ever since then, she'd felt a pressure in this part of her head, like it was growing, getting bigger and bigger. I said, "Oh, well, let me try and fix that." I said, I'm just testing. Let me just go in and look. She said, okay. And I was just curious. And so I went in, I saw what I saw, and I did something. I don't remember exactly what I did, but I went in and did some work on it. And she told me it went away and it never came back. Now, I don't want everybody to think that I'm a healer like that. That's not how I work. Sometimes it just happens.
Yeah.
I work more with people's minds, their emotions, their life situations. If something comes up like that, I give it a whack. But that's not my specialty.
Yeah.
But I think that's where I got started. And then I started talking to people about their problems. And I started giving them what I thought was really good advice. Very common sense and very good. And it just came to me. But the problem was, they would never take my advice. So finally I realized, you know, I was going to have to start charging if they were going to listen to me.
Yeah. So it helps when you can have a roof over your head.
Right. And of course I was working at what I call real jobs. I wasn't making any money at this. I was always just a regular person in a sense, work life. But then I started charging like $1 a minute, and then people started taking my advice. So I think that's where it all started. And through the many years, I just did that. I just did it. But eventually something happened that set me off more into the path I'm on now. I suppose you want to know what that is.
I want to know it all, Venus. It's all so much like you were when you were going to those circles you talked about, you know, and really interested. I find it so fascinating, you know, the work that you do. And I've had some quote unquote, I guess, psychic events or, you know, really interesting synchronicities and things in my life, but never been able to actually utilize a gift like you have. So when I come across anyone who has your gift, I'm always so fascinated. So
It's like I was pushed into it, or I was maneuvered. I've come to believe that we set out our own path when we come into this life, and we pretty much follow it, although we have some deviation, and so things just kind of unfold.
Sure.
But when I really started, I think I was just doing this on the side just for the heck of it, and because I could and because people wanted it.
Yeah.
But I didn't take it seriously. I never thought of it seriously. It was just something I did, you know, like that.
Yeah.
And then I'm trying to think of, I think I was doing that just like that and having my real job. And one day I got an opportunity to be a host for Hay House Radio, and I was told I was given a radio show. I was going to be a host there. And I said, what the heck am I going to do? Well, you know, you do this and that. And I said, yeah, but I've never done it on the radio.
Yeah.
And then I thought about it. I said, oh, what the hey, let's give it a shot.
You know, if it doesn't work, it's Hay House. What the hey?
Well, I'll do it, you know. And I really didn't think too much of it. I was surprised that I had a show at Hay House. But what happened then was I had a show at Hay House, and I started, I just give a little talk, and then I take readings. I take callers, and then I do readings on air. And then from there, people started wanting to talk to me. So then I started booking appointments over the phone and Skype. I forgot to tell you a bunch of stuff because I worked as a hypnotherapist before that, but doesn't matter.
Oh,
doesn't
wow.
matter. And so that was just a whole other life.
You're so funny.
Yeah. So
doesn't matter.
So anyway, with Hay House, of course, it went all over the world and they had a huge audience. And I raised my rates, but obviously they weren't enough. And I felt like I had to help everybody. I was just inundated and I was just overwhelmed because I still had my real job and I have other things I do. And I was trying to do this, and I did so much and I worked so hard that I made myself physically and emotionally ill, because this is a hard job I do. You take on other people's stuff. You get into their lives. You have to get into energies. I mean, there's so much you have to do. And I had to take 3 months off. I couldn't work for 3 months.
Wow.
Because I was so undone. And I said, well, I can't be doing this anymore. I'm going to have to raise my rates more in line with the other people. And I raised them. I thought it was a whole lot, but it still wasn't as much as most of the people there were charging. So I got it in line a little bit, but I still was overwhelmed by it. So I had that going on. And then something really big happened. I'm the oldest of six kids. Mm-hmm. And my sister Polly, she's next down from me, has a son named Michael. And he was mm-hmm. a well-known snowboarder and something in the ocean. What is that? Surfer.
Surfer.
Yeah, he was well known. Well, see, I'm sort of out of my head when I'm talking to you because I'm going back into that. When I do, I get a little funny.
You're right.
Because I'm here and I'm there. So please.
You're permitted. You actually get a free pass to be a little good, funny, Venus. So you're all good.
I can't change
we
it.
We expect
anyway.
Nothing else.
So Michael was well known in his field. He wore a clothing line for people. He was well known. But anyway, so. What happened was we had big storms here, big waves, enormous waves. And Michael was out in the water saving people because people were actually dying and drowning.
Wow.
And Polly called me that night and she said to me, you know, the surfer that went down today that died. And I said, yes. And she said, that was Michael.
Oh man.
And I'm just feeling it even now. I just went crazy. I just started screaming and I started crying and saying, I'm so sorry, Polly. I'm so sorry. And my boyfriend at the time came in because of all the commotion and I threw the phone at him because I just couldn't deal. And yeah. Along with the screaming and the crying and the grief, something else started happening to me. I saw this huge square of pink light energy starting at my tailbone, and it was moving all the way up through me. And for anybody out there who's ever had a baby without anesthetics, you know when you have to push and nothing can stop you. Well, it was like that feeling going all the way up, and I had to scream it out the top of my head or it would have blown me apart. And I just screamed bloody murder. I was on the floor. I was leaning against the walls.
Wow.
I was screaming, crying. In between, I was screaming at Polly how sorry I was and this and that. And then I was screaming this energy. It kept coming in waves and waves all the way through my body and out. Now I realize, of course, it was the Kundalini opening. But at the time, I didn't know what the heck was going on. I just knew I was acting insane. And I remember Bill standing over me, looking at me and saying, you've got to pull yourself together. You've got to help your sister. I remember saying, I know, I've got to. And then it would come again and I'd scream and go crazy. Eventually it stopped. I don't know how long it went on. But what happened after that was I was in grief, of course, but I was also in ecstasy. Yeah. I was in ecstasy probably for a couple of months, but I don't know how long it was. And my heart kept opening and closing, opening and expanding, opening. And I was in ecstasy. And I imagined I was like one of those saints you hear about when they act so strangely, because I was certainly a strange one.
And right.
I couldn't do my work. I couldn't pay bills. I couldn't do anything. A woman friend took me to see a reader I'd been to see before. And this woman didn't know anything about what had happened. And she was reading for me and she said that my numbers or what were so high, they were out of sight. I can't remember. Well, of course, I was just not here anymore. And I went out to lunch with this friend. Normally we would sit and talk. We don't see each other that often. And we'd gossip and we'd this and that. I said, I'm sorry. I can't even talk. There was nothing I could say on the worldly level. And so I remember we sat there very silently and ate our lunches. That was it. I could not function. And so at one point I said to myself, you came here to do work. You came here to live the life. You cannot do this. This is not helping anybody. It's not helping you. It's lovely, but you can't do it. So I brought myself down, but I went way too far. It's easier to go down than up. So then I was really sick again. And I was very ill and I couldn't get well and I thought I was going to die. And I was thinking, I need something to hang on to. I need something, some way of thinking. But every religion or way of thinking I'd ever looked into, and I've looked into a lot, they always had clunkers when you got into it, things that they couldn't answer for me. And so I just disbanded them. You know, I just abandoned them. So I said, I've got to find something, because when it comes to the point where I'm dying, if this is it or in the future, I have to have something to hang on to. Well, I did get well. And it was a few months later. It was in May. Let's see. It was May 26, 2006. I remember totally well. I was making dinner. I had a glass of red wine in one hand, a dirty pot in the other, and I walked to the stove, to the sink to wash the pot, and I heard a voice in my head, and it said, God is always happy. And wow. I said, well, is he now? I just thought, well, that's weird. And then I heard it again, God is always happy. And I thought, you know what? I better go write this down.
Yeah.
And I wrote it down, and then I heard, God is always happy, and God is always glad, because it is always experiencing itself, not he, it was it.
Yeah.
I said, really? And so then what started happening was what I call now the high beings started talking to me, and they would talk to me anytime, day or night. I could be driving the car and I'd have to stop and take notes. I'd be in a restaurant. I'd be writing on napkins. In the shower, and I have to get out of the shower. At night, I'd have to get out of bed and take down what they said. I never knew when, but I knew I had to get it all down. And so I did over a period of 11 months. But actually, it was more of, it was just a very simple framework of life. And would you like to hear it?
Yes, of course.
Okay.
Is that a trick question?
Yeah, right.
Nah, I'm not interested in what the high beings have to say. Let's turn on Fox News.
Okay. Along those 11 months, I'd been asking all kinds of questions. And at one point they said, and I'm reading this because I wrote it all down. They said, you asked for simple. We gave you simple. In truth, there are many ways to God, to the understanding of God, and all do end up in the same place. But here's in a nutshell what they gave me. God is always happy. God is always glad. God is always happy because it is always experiencing itself. We are all God. Everything is God. God is not bad. God is not good. God simply is. God is every question, and God is every answer. And then they added on something else. You are beginning to see this because this is your way of understanding. Let those who see what you see, see. Let those who see what you see, see. See what you see. And allow those who see differently to chart their own course.
Wow.
So this was 11 months, and they expanded on that framework. And I put it in MP3 form.
Mm-hmm.
Just part of it. I haven't gotten through all of it, but I played the part of myself. I had my daughter play the part of the high beings. My daughter is Summer McStravick. She does flow dreaming. She's pretty well known. But I let her play the high beings. She got the good part. But if people want to look at that, they're very inexpensive. Two of them together for $16. I just make it real reasonable. So if anybody has an interest, you can go to my website, which is godisalwayshappy.com. That's godisalwayshappy.com. And look
quite
under,
appropriate.
Yes. And look under books, and then look for that, and they'll find it there. Wow. They can download it. But that changed the whole course of my life.
Wow.
And I don't know where we are in your questions, but
it doesn't really matter. It's also fascinating.
Okay.
Well, one of the things now, Venus, that we talked about before we began is, would you be willing to attempt to tap into someone on the other side for me? And you so graciously said you would be, and you'd see what came up. And so what do you think about trying that at this point?
We can do that. Now, people tell me all the time that I work differently from anyone they know, although I've been teaching a few classes to people. So there's probably out there now people who know how to do what I do. But just I'm telling you this because it may be not the same as what you might expect. But the way I read dead people, first of all, I can't tell the difference between someone who's alive and someone who's dead. They feel the same to me. But what I do is I will have the person I'm reading for give me the person's first name or what they call them. I'll ask for, in the case of a dead person, I'll want to know how long ago they died, what age they died, what did they die of, what's the relationship, and what do you want to know? Because I found that I can waste a lot of time if I just go out looking for somebody. I can come up with just about anybody. and we can go anywhere, and it's just a time waster. So that's how I've taught myself to do this. And what I do is, when you do that, when I first started, I'd see a thin black line between them and us, the living and the dead. I don't see that anymore. What I do now is I go and stand someplace out there in the ethers, and I call on this person, and they usually come through what I call a portal. It's a rounded door. They come through that, sometimes by themselves, sometimes with somebody. And I never know what's going to happen. Some people who are dead, I find that dead people are just the same by and large as they were when they were alive. I know there's all kinds of stories that see it differently. Some people do go higher, lower, whatever. I have a theory that the people come to me as they were, as the person knows them, so they don't get confused, you might say. And sometimes the people on the other side are just as boring as they were in life, or they have as little to say. Others are much more talkative and give me much more information. So we just have to go with what it is. So who do you want me to look at?
Well, you know, I've been really torn about this because there is two different people that have crossed, and I'm sort of 50-50 on which one I should go with. One was sort of a tragedy that's very closely tied, a relationship of my brother's, and it's caused him a lot of grief. And the other is, you know, my grandmother, who, you know, of course, is very near and dear to my heart and was sort of like a second mother to me as a child. So I'm not sure which one. You said sometimes more than one person will come through.
Yeah,
regardless,
I never know.
So
I'm not in charge of this.
You never know.
Well, let's start with your grandmother and see if anything else happens.
Okay, excellent.
So,
okay.
Well, what was her name in life?
Her name, first and last name?
First.
Or first, Wanda.
I usually only need a first name. And sometimes people give me fake names on the radio and I still seem able to get there. But it's always easier if I get the right name. Wanda, how old was she when she died approximately? And what did she die of?
She died of a heart attack, and she was, I believe, 76. She had shaved 5 years off her life, and we didn't find out until after she had died. So I think it was 76. Yeah, okay. We found that very funny.
Is she your mom or your dad's?
Mom.
Okay. I was thinking mom, so I must have her. So let's go look. Excuse me. Okay, Wanda. I've gotten so I just talk out loud about everything, because on the radio, you can't stop talking. Also, I like to keep everybody I'm working with informed of what is being said.
Right.
So Wanda, I'm looking for Wanda. This is your grandmother, your mother's mother. What's your mother's name?
Susan.
I'm not real good at picking up names from people, so I always just ask. It seems like a small thing. I suppose I should work on that, but anyway. Okay, Wanda. Okay, there's a woman here who shows me herself a strange little thing. It may mean something to you now or not. You may think about it later. She's wearing a little funny hat with something sticking up off the top of it. Did she ever wear anything like that? Or it could be she's trying to express something about her personality. It's these things sticking up off the top that sort of bobble around on this little hat. Okay, if it means nothing, that's fine. I've just trained myself to say whatever I see, no matter how stupid it seems.
Yep.
So I'm saying, Wanda, I don't know what this is. Are you trying to tell your grandson something? I get a sense she's trying to say that she knew how to have a good time in life, or there was a part of her that was kind of quirky. Does that sound like... Okay, is that her? Thank goodness we've got her. Okay. I always breathe a sigh of relief. Thank you. Okay.
Okay, she was definitely quirky.
Okay, so let me just keep talking to Wanda. Hello, Wanda. I'm a friend of his, and I'm alive. Yes. Sometimes they have to ask me questions. I'm alive. I'm a medium. I'm just the connection. And is there anything else? I understand you're kind of quirky and you had a good time in life. And she said, that's me. And then she sort of gives a little kick step, a little kick with her foot and her leg. Does that mean
that
anything?
That sounds right. Oh, yeah. She would always do jumping jacks every time we would leave her house. Every time we'd pull out of the driveway, she'd be in the front yard just doing jumping jacks. And
She's laughing along with me. And she said, do you remember me? You remember me, all right. Well, yeah, of course he wouldn't forget you. And how are you doing over there? He wants to know how you're doing. She says, oh, honey, it's really fine over here.
Wonderful.
I don't know if she's talking to me or you, probably both of us when she says that. I like her. She's an interesting lady. I think I would like her in life as a friend, you know?
I think
she and I would get along because she's open to things. She says, you know, it didn't always go over very well, her personality or the things, the way she was. Do you know anything about that?
She was hard not to like. Well, right. She was hard not to like, though. She was very loving.
Yes, but not everybody, she says, understood the things she did or the way she said things or what she thought, that kind of thing.
Right. There would be a lot of discombobulated talk from time to time and things like that.
She felt out of step sometimes with the people she was with or the time she was, time zone she was born into. She said zone, but she doesn't mean like clock time. She means era time or, you know, time in the world. She says, yeah, I was a little out of step. She said, I wanted to be more my real self, but I couldn't be entirely because it just wasn't done. Something like that.
Right.
She said, it's like I felt like I kept a long wool coat on. I was wearing a long wool coat in that life. I wanted to take it off and just wear this little shimmy, skimmy dress and dance, dance, dance.
That's so great.
She wanted to be that kind of person. She said, but I am now. She said, you should see me now. And she takes the coat off and she's got this cute little, it's a little yellow silky pattern dress, very short. And she's just dancing and hopping around. Was she young in the 1930s? Did the 1930s, was that a good part of her life? Or do you know?
When was she born? I want to say she was born around 1920, maybe. Let's see. Okay. She died like 20 years ago, and she was 76. So what would that be? Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I'm out of my head.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. So yeah, 20 years ago. So let's say she died in 96, right around there somewhere. And then if she was 76, yeah, then she was born right around 1920. So she would have been like a teenager, I guess, in the late 30s.
Okay, because that time period is dear to her for some reason. Something about the clothes, and maybe even to the 20s a bit, although she would be pretty young, but it affected her. She liked it. She says, I'm that kind of gal. And she's very excited about what you're doing with your podcasting, with your life, and being creative and artistic. She says you are that. Is that true?
Yes, it is.
Okay. And she said, you know, you're a lot like me. She means herself in some ways. She sees herself in you. And she says, you're a favorite of hers. A favorite.
Aww.
Maybe the favorite.
Aww.
Something about the favorite. Yeah.
Wow,
anything,
that's beautiful.
Anything you'd like to ask her?
What would I ask her if she was sitting here right now? What would I ask?
Well, it's okay. While you're thinking, she just showed me a picture of her, which I'm trying to figure out. She's got a big basket on her arm and it's full of food things. And that I almost felt like she was Little Red Riding Hood in the woods. I have no idea what she's trying to tell me. What are you trying to tell me? Oh, in some ways, she was talking about the big bad wolf and Riding Hood, Red Riding Hood. Does that make sense?
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, she used to read, she used to read all the time. My favorite book to me when I was really little was Hansel and Gretel.
So that made me instantly
think of them. Yeah,
Into
it's
the
kind
woods.
Of like a similar fairy tale.
Into the
yeah,
woods.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. They went in with the breadcrumbs. Oh, and it was... I saw a lot of food in your basket, but it was mainly bread. I should have said that because then you won't believe me. But yeah, it was mainly bread. So I think the tie there is right. She's talking about that. She just wants you to know it's her. She's trying to think of ways. You know, if I get even just one evidential thing from a dead person, that's enough for me to believe.
Sure.
Because, you know.
Yeah.
So that's what she's trying to do here.
Very cool.
Interesting. Okay. All right. Anything else you want there? Or did you want to move on to something else?
No, we can move on unless there's anything else that she wants to say. I think.
Well, just that she loves you very much. And she says, I'm like your guardian angel, but I wrap myself in flags. I don't know what she means by that. She's showed me a picture. She's naked underneath, but she's got these flags wrapped around her. She's just showing me that she's your guardian angel, but she doesn't wear the outfit.
Uh-huh.
That she's her own independent self, and she wears whatever she wants. She does whatever she wants now. She's totally herself, and she wants to know, wants you to know that. And she wants you to feel free to do the same with your own life, to be totally, yeah, completely yourself. Don't let anybody else try and make you cover yourself up or pretend otherwise or do or not do things you want to do because you're constrained by society or other people's thinking. Does that make sense?
Right. Absolutely.
Have you had that,
yeah,
problem? Have you had that problem?
It's certainly not been a big problem in my life, but I guess there has been moments and times in certain situations where that has happened. Yeah.
Okay. Well, she's here as your angel to make sure. She says, if you let that happen, you'll feel her knocking on your head, like, knock it off.
Okay. Oh, wonderful. Thank you so much for that. That's such an incredible experience to share.
Thank you, Wanda. And she'll probably just hang out with us the rest of the time while we're working here.
So we Fair can enough. Say, I, she,
we can
she
say
can hang out anytime.
We're through. Okay. All right. So where do you want to go next here?
Where do we go next? Wow, there's so much interesting stuff. So you also do what you call mojos, right? Can you tell the listeners a little about your mojos?
This is where they may just think, I can't handle this woman. When we were growing up, my mother was really gorgeous. She looked like a movie star. Seriously, she could have been one.
Wow.
And my family had a lot of movie star friends and contacts, that kind of thing. But the reason I bring this up is because she was utterly gorgeous. When she'd walk into my room at school, all my classmates would say, oh, your mother is so beautiful. One of those. So she would do what she called mojos for us. We'd always be crying around, oh, I want a boyfriend, or I got pimples, or, you know, all the kids stuff. And she'd be sitting in a chair, let's say, and then she'd say, oh, you need a mojo. And here's this gorgeous woman, and she'd hop up out of her chair and she'd start screaming and yelling, throwing her arms around and her legs around. The kids would just be transfixed, and we'd start laughing, and she'd be making all these noises and throwing energy at us. And we'd think, that's the funniest thing we ever saw, this beautiful woman just acting like she'd lost her mind. But you know what? They almost always worked. We got the boyfriend, the pimples went away, or whatever it was. After I grew up, I never thought about it anymore. But when I'd been working on the radio for a while, one day, somebody needed some work and some help. And all of a sudden, a mojo just burst through me right on the air. And I was pretty startled, and so were they. But then they told me that they felt it. They tingled all over. Some people will laugh a lot. That brings it in. They'll tingle. They'll get dizzy. All kinds of things. Some people won't feel it, but they still work. And they had good results. Whatever it was I did it for, it worked. And so I just started doing them more and more.
That's so great.
So now I do mojos for people. And also, if people want to experience one, I have a free one on my website. Again, that's godisalwayshappy.com. I think a box pops up you can fill out. It also puts you on my mailing list. And I don't send out too much very often, but, you know, you do end up there. But, or you can look for the blue
headphones. Who would not want to end up on your mailing list anyway? Right. I mean, anyone who makes mojos like this, I mean, I'm in.
Well, we'll see. But anyway, so if you click on the blue headphones, you'll get something that pops up and it says you have a mojo. You can play it. And you can keep that and you can play it over and over. And that particular one is called No Matter What Happens, Everything Is Always Okay. And then on my website, I do have a lot of them for sale. They're really inexpensive. There's one called My Mother's Love Mojo. That gets a lot of use. Once you download them, they're yours, and you can play them over and over. My mother used to do a love mojo for us, so what the hey, I just made one too. They're for about everything you can imagine. There's even for get a new car mojo that seems to work. I get so many testimonials about these mojos, so I suppose you want to hear what one's like, right?
Yes.
All right. Well, the ones that you can get on my site, including the free one, have music, and they're much better in that they're much more palatable. With me, you're
this,
just going to
This is a live and direct one, right?
Yeah,
this is like a freestyle mojo.
The energy and the noise. So let me see what I should send you in particular. And anybody listening to this on the recording, it'll work on them too if they want it. If you don't want it out there, just say cancel. Don't worry about it. But now I'm looking
at you. And
I'm going to send it to you first, but it'll splatter, so to speak, on everybody. So I'm looking at you right now. Give me a moment. What do we want to give for him? I'm talking to the high beings, what I call the high beings, that help me and work through me. So what should we send to him? This is for clarity, for happiness. I want to send a lot of dazzling energy into your life, your body, and your mind to help you to feel good, happy, uplifted, positive, feeling fabulous, fabulous. Here we go. Wow, wow, bam, bam, woo, 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 mojo, mojo, woo, woo, bam, 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 woo, woo, bam, bam, woo, woo, bam, 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 bam. There you go.
That's so great. I definitely got chills while you're doing it. So
yes, people get chills. Yeah.
It's so beautiful. Thank you. That's so original, quirky, wonderful. I love everything about it. Thank you for that. That's so great.
You're so welcome. Well, you know, people always say, well, where do you get those? What? The way I get them.
My grandmother would definitely probably appreciate that mojo if she's still hanging around too.
Oh, she's still here. She's
that
laughing.
Seems like something that she would do.
Yes. That's probably why she said she and I'd get along, or I said that. Somebody said that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So totally. With the mojos, I just get them over. I look over my right shoulder with my other self. I look over and I collect the energy from there for whatever it might be. And then it just comes through. How it works, where it comes from, why people feel it, why it makes things happen. Honestly, I don't know. I'm just the conduit. That's how I think of myself. I'm, you know, they just work through me. Whatever it is works through me. I really don't question anymore too much where all these things come from. They just come. And I feel as long as I keep myself as positive and as pure emotionally and as positive with good feelings for all, that it works, that everything works for good. I have to, that's another thing. I have to really keep myself in a positive frame of mind where I only work for good, because can you imagine if this kind of thing was coming out when I was feeling crappy or I was thinking evil thoughts for people? Oh my God, right. I could kill somebody, you know? I gotta be really careful, which doesn't mean I'm perfect. I drink wine. I have all kinds of little things, you know, but.
All right.
Go ahead. What
very,
else?
Very, very fun. Thank you for that. So let's see. Another thing that I thought was very intriguing. You are a herbalist as well. And it made me think of, so my partner, Anna, just got back from, she did an energy healing course over the last couple of years. And then the conclusion of it was going to Hawaii and with the teacher in the group for a couple of weeks. And she had a very vivid past life recollection in the 1500s where she was an herbalist, and she's decided that's something she really wants to pursue. So I was just kind of perusing your site before our interview, and I'm like, oh, you're a master herbalist as well. Can you tell us a little bit about that work?
I just kind of fell into that as I fell into this other stuff. I have a book out. It's been out since 1984. It's still selling very well. I don't even promote it. It's called, what the heck is it? The Herb Lady's Notebook.
Oh, cool.
If you go to my website again, you can get it on Amazon.com. But if you go to my website, you can look under books and you can read the first chapter for free. It's The Herb Lady's Notebook. And my website is GodIsAlwaysHappy.com. There's a story in there about how I got into it. It's really funny. And I'm not going to go through it now. It'd take a while. But when I found the herbs, it was like coming home. It's like I felt like I knew all about them. I loved them. I loved getting people healthy. I had a little shop. People would come to me and I would just, obviously I was using my abilities then, but I didn't understand or realize it. And I worked at that for a number of years. And then things happened in my life where that was taken out and other things happened. But I still, you know, on my radio shows or when I'm working with people, sometimes I'll suggest different herbs and vitamins and combinations because I'm always researching. Back then, when I was an herbalist and writing that book, herbs were not very popular. You couldn't really get them many places. So I put a lot of herbal combinations in there. And people often email me, where do I get those? And I go, well, it's different now. You can get them anywhere. Just take my book to a health food store or search online and get something similar, you know?
Right.
But anyway, so yeah, it was a huge part of my life that I really loved and enjoyed. But here I am doing this now. Although I do take what I call a magic or a miracle tonic. It's all herbal from 1943. And they can find that on my site too. When you go to godisalwayshappy.com, just look up in the top for, miracle tonic. It'll tell you all about it.
Oh,
so
cool.
I'm still into herbs. I obviously can't get away from them.
Right. Right. Well, I was curious if you did any sort of like teaching or internships or, you know, sort of thing, because that's what she just came back from, was like, I really want to find someone who's, you know, and you're not that far from where we live, who can sort of teach me. And what was interesting for her, she had such a vivid past life recollection. And she actually came away remembering, like, you know, she brought back sort of knowledge from that life, which I thought was really, really fascinating. So now she's very interested in sort of reopening that part of herself. And so, of course, as soon as I saw that on your site, I'm like, oh, wow, here's someone who's kind of close. And,
yeah,
you know,
well,
so I'm just curious about them.
I don't teach herbs anymore, but I do have the book, which teaches you a lot. It's all about clients who came to me, and it's a hysterical book. They're all true stories, but I teach.
No,
along,
you hysterical. I, come on. I'm not buying it.
I teach along with it, so she might want to read the book. And also for sure have her look on my website for the miracle tonic. She may want to at least take it. It's an amazing, amazing story, amazing tonic. And I put it up there.
Can you tell us a little about it?
Well, it's,
does it take too long?
Briefly, I knew the old man who put it together in 1943, he dreamed the formula.
Wow.
Of course, I'm into all that stuff, so I was very fascinated by it. And he lived quite a long, healthy life. And I know his son, who's now 78 and looks the same as he looked 30 years ago when I first met him.
Wow.
When the father, it's an anti-aging longevity for all different kinds of diseases. I took it for a number of years and it's fantastic. And then I was not able to get it anymore. Then I found it again. And the son is making it now in a laboratory, but it's the original formula. I realized he told me the first formula I was taking lacked four ingredients because it came from Canada at the time and their health and welfare wouldn't allow those. They're tougher than our FDA. But anyway, they're simple. Wow. Ingredients, safe. So now I get the original formula directly from him. And I've been taking it now for maybe 3 months, and they also have a lotion that's the father made. And I tell you, in the last few weeks, people keep saying, gosh, Venus, you look so pretty. You really look good. And I'm going, well, what can it be? Even one of my sisters said that, and she wouldn't normally. So check it out. I've got all the information there. You can find out about it. But yeah, I think your girlfriend would really like it.
Yeah, I will definitely check that out. And you know what's fascinating to me about things like that is, you know, there's a great story that goes with it. He had a dream about it. He put it together. It's actually still here, what, all these years, you know, 70 years later or whatever. And so it's sort of like there's all this energy tied around it. And the more people, of course, that give energy to it, I always kind of jokingly say, I think we'll get to the other side and find out almost everything is a placebo, right? Yeah. And we believe that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you find out that it's, you know, here's this great story. He dreamed it. So it gives it more validity and it feels like, wow, this is going to do something for me. And so what happens? Voila, it does. Right. And so I always find it really, really interesting that, I have no doubt it would help just based off of the energy that's sort of tied to it. Right.
There's a lot of energy with it. And I agree with your placebo theory. I think a lot of things can be cured that way. Emotional, physical, you know, not just with herbs, but with energy, you know, all kinds of things. Yeah. They should use it more. I think they're, whoever's in charge here is beginning to discover that
right.
There's a lot to placebos. Yeah. We can use this instead of debunking it.
Yep, exactly, exactly. Well, one of the things that I always love, love, love to ask my guest is any story of synchronicity or serendipity or a positive, you know, inspiring paranormal story. Sometimes I ask those questions. Well, I sort of give a heads up to my guests that I'm going to ask that. And I say, look, if you don't have something like that, of course, that's fine, too. In your case, I cannot imagine that you don't have some sort of very inspiring, synchronistical or positive paranormal story. So hopefully you've got something for us that will whet our appetite, so to speak.
Yeah, I've got some. And the biggest one, of course, I already told you about the beings working through me and being right. A so-called saint for a while. By the way, I'm no longer a saint.
I know. Look at how greedy I am for the stories. You've already told us about like writing books via high beings. It's like, oh, well, do you have something paranormal for me? Well,
I'll go way back in time. I mentioned briefly, I used to work as a hypnotherapist. And this is before I realized I could do things I can do. And so I started working as a hypnotherapist. And, but people kept saying to me, you know, I was doing things like no smoking and losing weight, you know, boring stuff like that. They kept saying they wanted me to do readings, do a reading for me, Venus, do a reading, do this, do that. And I'd say, no, I can't do that. One day I talked to my daughter and she was like a young teenager then. And I said, these people want me to do this. And I was a single mother and I had to support us both. And I said, I just can't do that. So I don't feel right about it. And she said, Mom, you couldn't be worse than anybody else out there who's doing it. And she said, you know, you always try to do the right thing and you have common sense. So I think you should do it. And so I said, okay. So then I started doing readings for people. And that's when I started to think, well, maybe I can do something. I remember this one girl came in. She was a young girl, maybe in her 30s. And I don't remember what she came in for. But I ended up telling her all about some great aunt or great, great aunt who lived in San Francisco years ago. And she bought up and managed many big hotels in San Francisco. Where the heck this came from, she and I couldn't fathom. And I had a whole long story that went with it. And I said, is this true? Do you know anything about this? She didn't know a thing. And I said, well, I gave it a shot. Well, she got back with me later. She checked in with her mother and some other relatives. And yes, indeed, she did have a great aunt who did this and was this. All the things I'd said, and I thought, wow, that's amazing. Another thing that happened, I was also still doing the work. This businessman came to see me, and he wanted to find out about his business. He wanted to talk about it and have me see what I saw, and okay. And then I think I said, but there's a young woman here, a young girl here. He said, oh, that's my daughter. She recently died of leukemia. Wow. I said, do you want me to talk to her? He says, no, I'm at peace with it. I said, okay.
Wow.
I started working with him, but she was there. And then she showed me a picture of herself. And she said, I want you to tell my daddy that I'm a butterfly angel now. And she was wearing an angel outfit and butterfly wings. And I said, excuse me, to the man. I said, but I have to tell you this. Your daughter says to tell you that she's now a butterfly angel. The poor man, I was seeing people in person then. He broke into tears, sobbing. And he said, as she was dying, he said to her, you're going to become a butterfly angel.
Wow.
And so things like that.
Gives me chills.
And then one last thing. This is more recent. Mm-hmm. Like I said, if I even get one evidential thing, it really helps me and it helps the person who's sitting with me. A lady called me on the radio and she was asking about somebody or something. I don't remember the story. I kept seeing a man on the other side who kept waving flags at me, waving flags around. And I said, I told her this. Who is this man? He keeps waving all these flags. He won't let me alone. She said, I don't have any idea. Well, she emailed me a couple of weeks later. She checked back into the family with old relatives and back in whatever their records. There was a man in their family and he'd had a flag business.
Oh, wow.
And now where would you get something like that? You know?
Right. Wow, that's funny. It makes me think back to a few minutes ago with my grandmother wrapping herself in flags. So maybe that's what she meant by it. Like her premonition of that coming up later. Who knows?
Who knows? There's a lot of things. I don't know. The more I know, the more I don't know. You know that saying, but it's true.
Yep,
I'm always saying, I don't know. because I really don't know. I just have to go with whatever comes
out. What comes through. Yeah. And I think that's really powerful. I think, you know, you have someone who's wise when they relate to that statement. You know, the more you know, the more you realize you don't know. And I say it all the time on the show. It's like, look, guys, I'm just here trying to figure all this stuff out. It's, you know, if you benefit in the process, excellent. I love that. And that makes me feel really, really good. But so I definitely can relate to that saying. I'm always just in awe of it all. You know, it is just It's such a mystery and so much magic, and it's just a beautiful, beautiful thing that we're all here doing.
Right.
So let's see here. Now, do you do general predictions at all for the world? I mean, do you ever do that sort of thing? Do you have any like sort of general predictions that you feel strongly about that you would make?
Well, sometimes they come out just while I'm working, and they just come out when they come out. But I'm not that kind of reader. I mean, nobody sits down with me and says, read me my future. I don't do that. It's just not my thing. It just seems kind of pointless to me. Although it's a lot of fun. You know, I like to go to readers and get my future read, but I don't do it. Future predictions for the world. The way I see the world, I see it as a carnival that we're all here having adventures and experiences, like the being said. And there's always a lot of different shows going on at the same time. And they're always all terrible, awful, wonderful, et cetera. And everybody thinks this is the worst time ever. I don't believe that.
Do you think there's a spiritual revolution of sorts taking place? No.
Oh, well, no, yes. You know, if you look back in time, there's always one going on or not. It's just part of the whole process. But I have heard, you know, I have heard since the beginning of time in this life about the spiritual process. It's happening now and this is going to happen. I've seen all these gurus or whatever saying all these things are going to happen and yada, 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 yada. And have they happened?
Right.
Not so much. You know, it's just the same old stuff being recycled from what I can see. Things happen. Yeah. They're always going to happen. Cataclysms, horrible things. I mean, this is the history of the earth.
Right.
So if I find myself caught up in these things and getting upset, I go, now, wait a minute. What circle am I dancing in? Let's go to another one here. That kind of thing.
Right. I think that's a very powerful point. It's, you know, what you give attention to is sort of what you draw into your reality, and all the different sort of flavors are out there, and you can start kind of tuning into any one of them. You know, all the horrors, all the wonderful developments. I mean, it's a little bit of smorgasbord, and I think the most important thing that we can do is decide what, you know, vibrational pool, so to speak, we're going to go splash around in.
Yeah. And if you're tired of suffering, go somewhere else to a different circle where they're having more fun, you know? It's all happening at the same time. You can find anything you want to get into out there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I am so grateful to share this experience with you. And I do want to leave you with one question that I sort of always go to as my last question. 60 seconds or less. What is the meaning of life according to Venus Andrecht?
For me, it is having adventures and being as positive about them as possible, because not all adventures are a whole lot of fun, you know, but I do try and enjoy them as much as I can, and enjoying people, just living life, squeezing all the juice out of it, because you know, we might as well, we're here, we're living, we might as well do it the best way possible. Why suffer unless you really want to?
Absolutely.
And if you want to, go ahead, you know?
Yep, that's an option too, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, Venus, the best way for people to contact you, we've kind of mentioned God is always happy. I highly encourage any of you guys listening to go and, you know, get a reading. And you do them over Skype. And so it's very easy, correct, for people to link
Skype
up with you?
Skype and phone. Yeah, I do work all over the world. I work during the week and I don't work weekends, but that's all on my site. And they can read a lot of testimonials there and how I work and whatever. They can listen to my radio shows. All my shows are on iTunes.
Of course, yeah.
Under Venus. Under Dear Venus or Venus Andrecht, although I know my last name is hard to spell.
A-N-D-R-E-C-H-T. I'll just go ahead and throw it out there.
That's right. Yes. And so, yeah, they can contact me. We can go from there.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, Venus, thank you again so much. You are such a light in the world, and I greatly, greatly appreciate you.
Well, you're so welcome. Well, I enjoyed you too. Great, and thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Well, everyone, that concludes this week's interview episode. If you have enjoyed this positive download, please take a minute, give us a rating or review on iTunes. Since iTunes is the holy grail of all things podcasting, your good reviews help us to reach more listeners. Also, we would be extremely appreciative if you would tell your friends and family about the show. Our sincere intent with the Positive Head podcast is to spread positivity to the world because, well, because we're selfish, quite honestly. I say that jokingly, but really only halfway joking. I'm referring to the good kind of selfish based on the knowing that we all get what we give in this life, because when we give, we're actually always giving to extensions of self, since we're all really one in the same consciousness, just in different bodies. So if you want to be a good selfish along with us by helping to spread the positivity, by all means, please proceed to shout about the Positive Head podcast from your rooftop. Otherwise, as you continue on your fabulous journey in this 3D reality, be sure to remember this. As long as you ain't dead, you're already positive ahead. Journey well, everyone, and thank you for being.